This is the fourth book in a series called The Horror Story Volumes. So this is Horror Story Volume 4, entitled The Devil's Net. It was written by G.M. Haig and narrated by the author, myself, G.M. Graham Haig. While I call these Horror Story Volumes a series, these are all standalone books and you don't have to read them in chronological or numerical order. I'm an Australian author, and my novels, unless it's otherwise really obvious, are by default set in Australia and populated by Australian characters. I'll also point out that I'm fortunate to live in the southwest countryside of Western Australia, along with my beautiful wife Lisa, three Great Danes, two donkeys, and a tremendous amount of wildlife that has absolutely no regard for anyone trying to record an audiobook in my studio. Despite my best efforts to avoid it, you may still occasionally hear very faint bird noises in the background. I've tried recording at night, but then you just get the frogs. These noises are almost inaudible and don't impact on the quality of the recording, but using some listening devices, you may just hear one or two. Author's Introduction to The Devil's Net. With its theme of a fishing trawler desperately risking one last trip, you can be excused for thinking this story was inspired, at least in part, by Sebastian Younger's novel The Perfect Storm and the subsequent film starring George Clooney. But no, the idea for this tale came from a completely different inspiration. It was the title song on Sting's 1990 Soul Cages album. It's one of those tunes where it isn't entirely clear what the song is really about, but it has lots of wonderful dark lyrics about lobster fishermen making deals with the king of the sea, bartering their souls and sealing these pacts by sharing cups of wine. The lyrics go, "A vintage that blessed every ship in the line, wrung from the blood of the sailors who died, young white bodies adrift in the tide." Then the reply is, "If you lose a wager with the king of the sea, you'll spend the rest of forever in a cage with me." I always imagined the king of the sea was this King Neptune-like figure with an impressive beard and bare chest and a rather impractical trident fork, who was a fairly helpful chap when it came to sailors and fishermen. The idea that he was an evil, nasty piece of work brought all kinds of possibilities to mind. And I'd better admit to being influenced also by a movie long ago called The Devil's Triangle. A luxury yacht picks up a man floating adrift in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle, with predictable and fatal results for the passengers when the man turns out to be the devil himself. It scared the hell out of me, and probably still would today. It just goes to prove you never know what might be lurking under the water's surface, be it the ocean, a lake, or even your backyard swimming pool. Evil spirits are supposed to prefer water, especially at night. Chapter 1. The harbour water was shifting the anchored boats as if they were uneasy. The swell was coming from the wrong direction for good weather. A haze washed out the blue sky to seaward, and a breeze, to those men who knew, touched the other cheek, saying winter was coming. It was a scene worthy of a jigsaw puzzle, the fishing fleet with its bright-coloured hulls and fluttering pennants, moored against the arcing backdrop of the cliffs. Tourists loved this quaint village above the sea. The locals were more pragmatic about their home. Generations of their families had walked up the narrow road at the end of a long day cursing the climb, as often as being thankful for the shelter it provided. The subtle change in the air was no surprise. The season was rightfully coming to its end. It was only a question of whether it would be days or weeks before the weather broke. Hark remarked in a dull voice, "Samson's stacking his nets too." He was sitting at the very stern of the trawler and having a smoke, downwind from the bowser refueling their boat. The jetty stank of spilled diesel, gutted fish and seagull droppings. When John Boston, the captain and owner of the Cormorant, didn't respond, Hark added, "They didn't have a good season either. I would have thought he'd try one more trip." Boston said, annoyed to be discussing this yet again, "He doesn't need to, Norman."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?